This is a oral notfic of the sequel to The Mountains Said I Would Find You Here by Megary. I recorded that story as an ITPE 2019 gift, and ever since then, I've had this idea in my head, so I'm gonna see if I can put it down here. That fic and or podfic is kind of required reading. And I'd recommend going to check it out, even if you do not want to know the context for this, because it is a wonderful story. But to summarize, Qui-Gon is sort of reborn by the Force. The Force pulls him out of the past and dumps him into the future where Obi-Wan is on Tatooine looking after Luke, and Qui-Gon is physically in his, I think, early 30s, but that's what he remembers. Except he also remembers, like, the moments of his death, and then that's it. So, through a series of hijinks, he learns about the fall of the Jedi Order and the rise of the Empire, and then he just hangs out on Tatooine for, like, a decade with Obi-Wan. And that's it. They just hang out. It's wonderful. And then one day, he's like, I'm gonna go into town and buy us some more plums. And when he comes back, their hut is empty, and there's a note from Obi-Wan saying, there's trouble. If I don't come back, like, go ahead and go to Alderaan and join the rebellion like you've always wanted to. And then Qui-Gon feels it in the Force when Alderaan is destroyed. And because he's so in tune with the living Force, it kind of knocks him out for a little bit. And then, like, less than a day later, his bond with Obi-Wan shatters, and he feels Obi-Wan die. And that's where the fic ends. But I've always wondered, yeah, what if Qui-Gon did not vanish back into the Force at the end of the story? What if he actually did go out into the universe like he was planning to, join the rebellion, and do all of this stuff? So, we have Qui-Gon sitting on Tatooine with basically no resources, except for, obviously, the Force. And he knows that Alderaan is gone, and he knows that, Obi-Wan is dead. So, obviously he goes to the nearest spaceport. I always get Mos Eisley and Mos Espa mixed up, but whichever is the correct one. He goes there. I think in the first story, he has access to a bunch of old Jedi bank accounts. So he pulls some money out of that, gets passage on a ship. But by this point, news that Alderaan is gone has spread. This is going to be, I'm going to say maybe the day after the Death Star was destroyed, and news of the Death Star's destruction would have spread very, very quickly. But I don't think it would have gotten all the way out to Tatooine that quickly. So Qui-Gon is trying to figure out where he needs to go. And all of his knowledge is not just, like, out of date, but it's way, way, way out of date. It's, like, 50 years out of date. So, well, okay. His political connection and political knowledge is 50 years out of date. He has had the last decade of random conversations with Obi-Wan to kind of fix that, but not so much. So, he tries to find the rebellion, of course, but And here's where I'm taking some liberties, because I'm going to cross this over with Star Wars Rebels. Because obviously Star Wars Rebels is happening at the same time as this, or slightly before this, actually. But anyway, one thing that he could learn is that there's a lot of rebel activity around Lothal. They have, in fact, recently full-on rebelled. And there were rumors of a couple of Jedi running around Lothal. One of them is the Empire is saying is dead, like full-on, we killed a Jedi celebrations. But the other one is kind of question mark? Nobody knows quite what happened with Ezra, and the Empire is saying, no, he's totally dead, and the Rebels are saying, yeah, right, what were the space whales then? So I think that's where Qui-Gon goes first. Qui-Gon has to planet hop a little bit. He's coming out of the Outer Rim, and he is trying to hide his presence, and he's not gonna pay for a direct passage. And it's probably hard to get into Lothal. Like, he's riding with smugglers and with traitors and with all of that. But even so, it's going to be, like, he wants to be careful going into Lothal, because they are going to be careful of anybody else coming in. The Rebels aren't going to want any Imperial spies coming in, but at the same time, like, they have to maintain a certain level of trade, or their whole economy is going to fall apart. So there's a lot of, like, scrutiny there, and Qui-Gon manages to, like, buy passage on a ship, but also he's working on the ship and doing, you know, menial labor stuff, like a little bit of mechanic work, a little bit of translation work, because I know he speaks a bunch of languages, a little bit of, maybe he cooks. I can't remember if canonically Qui-Gon or Obi-Wan is the good cook. Or maybe that's fandom stuff. Anyway. So he makes it to Lothal. And at that point, it's not hard to locate the Rebels because, okay, look, we've got Hera Syndulla, Rebel General. We've got Garazeb Aurelius, who has never been subtle a day in his life, and is also one of the only Lasat running around. Sabine Wren, who has brightly colored hair and even brighter colored armor. Chopper, who will, like, blow up at anything. The only one left of their group who is remotely subtle is Kallus. So, yeah. Which actually makes me want Qui-Gon to run into Kallus first. Like, okay, so he's at the spaceport, and he goes to a random bar to get a drink and ask around, pick up some local gossip, all of that. And he gets to talking with this stranger, and the reader, audience, of course, recognizes Kallus, but he doesn't give the name Kallus. Maybe he just says Alex. So Alexander Kallus is feeding this stranger a little bit of information and trying to work out why he's there. And from the other side, Qui-Gon is trying to gather as much information as he can without actually spilling that he is a Jedi and looking for the rebellion and all of this, because he knows that's really a big no. But at the same time, the one major talking point at the moment is the destruction of the Death Star and the Rebels' victory and a turning point in this, what has been an underground war and is now no longer underground. And so they both get to talking about this stuff, and then one of them mentions that there was a Jedi at the fight. And there's this moment between the two of them where they are just measuring each other up. And they both kind of realize at the same time that, yeah, no, we're both fans of the Jedi. We both think this is a good thing, but there's, it's like two dogs circling each other. And I think at this point, somebody else has to interrupt them because they could keep going. Both of these guys are slick enough that they could just keep talking in circles the whole night. So maybe it's Hera. I'm going to say Hera because she's the smart one. So Hera shows up and says something like, "Oh, Callus, Zeb was looking for you. We need to contact..." And she names drops someone. Probably not Mon Mothma, but one of the other rebel leaders, and someone who isn't an obvious rebel, but someone who Obi-Wan, in his connection with Bail Organa and all of that, would have known. And so Qui-Gon recognizes the name, and Qui-Gon, like, stands up and goes, "Actually, I've been trying to get in touch with them. Can I come with you? May I join you?" kind of thing. And at this point, Hera looks at Callus and going like, "Is this guy okay? Because you've been sitting here talking to him, and I don't know who he is." And Callus is like, "Well, he seems to think the Jedi are good." And at this point, I think Qui-Gon takes a risk because, let's face it, that whole lineage is known for taking risks. And so I'm going to say he just, like, shifts slightly and lets his lightsaber be seen. Because he's been wearing robes and stuff. Not Jedi robes, but, you know, just traveling robes. And so he, like, pulls aside a bit of his sleeve or a bit of his, like, robe or something, and they can see his lightsaber hanging on his belt. And then he says something along the lines of, "Yes, I'm a fan of the Jedi," or, "I know quite a bit about the Jedi," or something like that. And Hera, at this point, I think she, like, leans back and crosses her arms because she is surprised, but also, like, she's met enough Inquisitors. And this guy doesn't feel or act like an Inquisitor. She's not... Okay, I'm gonna say Hera is not Force Null, and she's hung around with Kanan long enough that she's picked up a few things, but mostly her little bit of Force sensitivity is aimed at excellent piloting. So she trusts her instincts, and she's like, "Okay, this guy isn't acting like an Inquisitor, he isn't... So maybe we trust him enough to, you know, trust and verify." So they allow him to come back to wherever they're based at the moment, and there's a quiet bit of surprise with Zeb and Sabine and Chopper going like, "Who is this guy?" And they're like, "Apparently he's a Jedi." And they're like, "Wait, a Jedi?" And then there's like, and there's that moment of silence and sorrow and grieving for Kanan and Ezra, and questions are asked, and Qui-Gon answers them as best he can without giving away the fact that he was pulled through time by the Force. He says he was on Tatooine for a long time, and then with the recent upheaval, his task was done, and he came to find the Rebellion because they need him. So after that, things happen fairly quickly. He says he's Qui-Gon Jinn. He says that he was thought dead on Naboo all those years ago, but hey, he's back! And he pulls out some Jedi bullshit of, yes, the Force works in mysterious ways. I'm here now. What are you gonna do? And some people trust him, and some people don't. But the fact that there is another Jedi making contact with the Rebellion and trying to, like, help, he probably goes on one or two small missions, word spreads, and Luke hears about it. Because how could he not? At this point, he's pretty close to the heart of the Rebellion. So Luke presses that he needs more training, there's another Jedi, I want to talk to them. And it isn't long before Luke meets Qui-Gon. I'm gonna say Qui-Gon makes it to Hoth, and there's a short period, maybe a month, where Qui-Gon is teaching Luke in the Force on Hoth. But here's the thing. Episode 5 still happens. Hoth still gets attacked by the Empire, and I'm going to say that the whole daring escape where Luke hightails it off in the opposite direction and goes to Dagobah still happens. It happens because Qui-Gon is either knocked out, or maybe Qui-Gon outright fights Vader. And Qui-Gon is injured and has to escape, basically. And Vader learns about Qui-Gon's existence. He probably knew that there was a Jedi, but knowledge that there was a master and now a Padawan both, maybe that hadn't quite made it out to the Empire yet. And then he faces Qui-Gon, and Qui-Gon faces Vader, and little things that Obi-Wan said way back when, like, start to trickle back, and Vader ends up overwhelming Qui-Gon, but Qui-Gon was more focused on buying time for everybody to escape, so it kind of works out. I'm gonna say that Qui-Gon was one of the last to escape, and he probably made it out on the Falcon because, well, the Falcon was one of the last ones out there, and let's face it, Han and Chewbacca are main characters. So, eventually, Qui-Gon ends up on Cloud City, and that whole debacle. But he's also got a training bond with Luke, and so he knows that Luke is off with, well, he doesn't know he's off with Yoda, but he knows he's off on basically a Force quest, and he keeps meditating, trying to reach Luke, trying to, like, go, hey, you are basically my Padawan now. I promised that I would look after you since Obi-Wan is dead. Why did you run off? Where did you go? This also changes the moment when Luke is hanging from the bottom of Cloud City and he calls out in the Force, because he's had a little bit more training by this point, and he knows about Master Padawan bonds, and so he would call for Qui-Gon before calling for Leia. And let's talk about Leia for a moment here, because Qui-Gon would recognize that Leia is Force-sensitive. He would also recognize that she has had enough training to shield herself, and maybe he had a conversation with her on Hoth, going like, hey, you're Force-sensitive. Do you want to join Luke and train in this? And she was like, wait, what? And he was like, you'd have to let go of a lot of that anger. It's kind of dangerous. I mean, I'm pretty lax about the whole following the code thing according to the council, but since there isn't a council anymore, and, you know, all of that. And Leia said no because there's more important things that she needs to be doing. And that was it. It was one small conversation in a back room that nobody else knew about. And Qui-Gon doesn't know about the twins thing. He just knows that they're both force sensitive, having lived on the same base with them for a month. So Luke doesn't give it away that Leia is his sister then, because he still doesn't know. And then Luke loses a hand, and Qui-Gon facepalms, basically, and sits him down to talk with him, and Luke says that, oh yeah, there's this little green master called Yoda over on Dagobah, and guess what? Obi-Wan Kenobi showed up as a Force ghost, and Qui-Gon facepalms all over again and goes, okay, I understand why you left. We're going back to Dagobah right now because I need to have some words with both of them. And so that happens. And Luke and R2 huddle in the background while Qui-Gon goes on a fully epic rant facing Obi-Wan Force Ghost and really insane Yoda. And he's yelling about how Obi-Wan went to his death on purpose, and how Yoda has basically forgotten how to train anyone, and how he's been tainted by the dark side sitting here, so he can hardly complain if anybody else is tainted by the dark side. And I think he might even drag Yoda out of his little hut and go, you're coming with me, we're both going back to the rebellion with Luke. And you, Mr. Force Ghost Obi-Wan, you're coming with me too. I don't care if you're incorporeal, you're coming on this ship. And at some point in there, the truth about Luke and Leia come out, and Luke is still in the background, and at this point he's just jaw drop, going, wait, Leia is my sister? And Qui-Gon is like, and you separated them at birth, and Vader is Anakin, who Obi-Wan told me about, even if I don't remember it, and Chosen One, and And he basically grumbles to himself for about 20 solid minutes, manages to get them all on back onto the ship, orders Luke to take them back to wherever they're rendezvousing with the Falcon, and then goes to meditate because, God, he needs to meditate. Now, I'm not sure exactly how Episode 6 turns out, except I'm gonna say that Yoda has a little bit of a hand in training Leia, and Yoda lives a little bit longer now that he's away from the dark wellspring. He's also a little bit saner. Just a little bit. And I think that's what I've got. So, the end. Hope you all enjoyed it.